Talk, the work at Mountain View. Mountain View, California, May 3, 1906. Talk by Mrs. E.G. White in a meeting of leading workers at Mountain View. We came to Mountain View, expecting to remain only a few hours and then go on to St. Helena. But our time here would have been so limited that I decided we ought not to rush away in such a hurry, because by staying, I might be able to bear my testimony to the brethren in Mountain View. While at St. Helena, again and again it has been revealed to me that there was not a correct state of things at Mountain View, that there were present the very conditions that made it essential for the publishing work to be removed from Oakland. I saw that in the working out of human ideas and plans, there was a disregarding of the light God had given in the past to correct existing evils. There is danger that the experience of the past will be repeated. The men who are serving in the management of the work can just as surely swerve the work into lines of commercialism as in the past. My instructor said, "This in no case must be. They have had warnings in the past over and over again for 18 or 20 years, but have not fully heeded these warnings. There are those who have had no heart in the matter of moving out of Oakland, but have been opposing their resistance to the instructions that have been given, and their unbelief has strengthened with the spirit of opposition to the movement. The Lord's message was, out of the cities, break up the continual temptation to engage in commercial business, which has been such a great injury to the work. A failure to heed the messages given, and repeated for years, has been a decided injury to the souls of many. Of those connected with the Pacific Press, there are some who continue in the spirit of opposition that has caused them to carry things their own way, to carry out their own personal preferences as to the business management in the work connected with the publications that should go forth from the press. They have thought that commercial business should be accepted, and means would come in, and higher wages would be given to the workers. God has had his eye upon the unconsecrated ones who have been opposed to the moving of the publishing house. These have not experienced genuine conversion, but there will be an effort to bring them in and entrust them with responsibilities. Were they entrusted with these responsibilities, they would reveal the same spirit and the same mind and the same kind of influence as worldlings. The influence exerted would be worse, because they profess to be Christians. They are no more with God than those who make no profession of godliness. There are worldlings who would scorn to do many things that those who claim to be Christians are doing. The Lord calls for a halt, for a different order of religious faith. The spirit that is antagonistic to pure truth is plainly stated in the teachings of the law of God. We are warned to avoid every form of error. At this time, when we have light and evidence of what is the truth, we are to show our true position. Are we on the side of Christ Jesus? It has been revealed to me that not all the families who have a knowledge of the truth have brought the truth into their practice. Every talent of influence is to be sacredly cherished for the purpose of gathering souls to Christ's side. Young men and young women, do not consider that your musical entertainments, conducted as they are in Mountain View, are doing acceptable missionary work. A spirit has come into them that is of a different order. We had this same spirit to meet 30 years ago, and we bore decided testimony against it in Battle Creek. A decided religious feature should be encouraged in all our gatherings. Light has been given me decidedly again and again. 30 years ago, when certain ones would assemble together for an evening of singing exercises, the spirit of courting was allowed to come in, and great injury was done to souls, some of whom never recovered. The same danger is being encouraged in Mountain View. If these young people would assemble to read and understand the Scriptures, asking, "What shall I do that I may have eternal life?" and then place themselves unitedly upon the side of truth, the Lord Jesus would let his blessing come into their hearts. The lawyer said to Christ, "What shall I do that I may have eternal life?" The Lord Jesus turned to him and said, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And the lawyer answered, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all mind, and with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself." Said Christ, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Luke 10, verse 25 to 28. The Lord Jesus has thus immortalized the terms upon which human beings may enter into possession of the life that measures with the life of God. Through the ages, from the beginning of the world, human beings have had the word of the living God, the sure evidence regarding the result of obedience and disobedience. Therefore, we are to go forward with implicit confidence and faith and reliance in the sure word of prophecy. We are to gather up the hope of past ages and look forward to the reward that accompanies obedience. From the beginning until the present time, man's only hope has been to take upon the sure word of God. That truth is eternal and omnipotent, and no deception or falsifying is of the truth. I am instructed that there needs to be an altogether different spiritual atmosphere in every family if you are to grow upward. I want to say that from things that have been shown me, I know that there must be a different mold upon the church here if you expect the surrounding neighborhood and the people in one place and another to be benefited. I have not felt anxious to be here in Mountain View. I have not felt that I could do any good, because the light has already been given. It has in the past been given plainly. I have stood right here in this building and borne the plain, clear testimony from the Lord. Unify, unify, unify. It is not for one to do the whole work of unifying. We are every one to take part in this work. As the light has come to me on many points, I thought perhaps if I could write it out and send it, it would have the same result as for me to stand before you in person. But I am weary of bearing testimonies when I do not see that it brings anything to pass. No one of us should measure another man and refuse to have confidence in him or to harmonize with him because he does not come up to us step by step. You no more come up to God step by step than he does. I know it. And therefore, for you to take the position, we cannot harmonize with you, and to stand off and let him stand alone is not right. God is not in it at all. Yet this spirit has been shown here, and I am sick at heart because of the manifestation of the disposition on the part of some to criticize another, when things just as offensive in the sight of God can be criticized in themselves. The Lord wants every man of you to come to his senses. We have come to the point where we must know that we have the right hold upon God. Christ has stated the same thought, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Verse 27. Now, when we come into this position, there will be a different mold on the church from that which is now seen. The danger is right here. It may not have already taken place that the very ones who would not concede to the decision to move into the country, but drew themselves off, will now offer to come back. And there are those who have not that high standard that they should have who would accept them. Whether they have done this or not, or are going to do it, I cannot tell. Because sometimes things are presented to me as done that are not yet done. Brother Jones has needed altogether different treatment from that which he has received from some who have been connected with him in the work. The burdens resting upon him were heavy enough, but some, instead of helping him to carry them, have made them heavier. Just as they have dealt with him, so God will certainly deal with them unless they rid themselves of their hard-hearted spirit. To my brethren who have taken a course to dishearten, discourage, and drive out of the work men whom the Lord loves, and who are fighting hard battles, which their brethren have helped to make hard, I am bidden to say, you need to change decidedly. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Soften your spirit before God. Examine your own works and your own ways. When you open your hearts to the tenderness of Christ, you will be ready to build up, not to tear down, ready to do true missionary work. One pointed me to that building with two ends out, as a representation of how it would be if you dropped Brother Jones out of the work, thinking that it could be carried on just as well without him. The light that has come to me is that in dropping experienced men out of the work, you do not know what you are about. I have expected that Brother Jones would be separated from the work. But in the night season his case was presented to me just as it was presented before, that we have no one of his experience to take his place in the work. Brother Jones has made mistakes, but he means to do the will of God. He may make mistakes and failures, but no worse than others would make if they were in the same position. We are apt to forget the mistakes that we have made, to forget that we are erring, that we are not perfect. The Lord wants that Brother Jones should have courage, that he should walk strictly with God, that his faith should be revived, that he should take hold to help in the publication of the books and pamphlets and the other matter that you are getting out. You need his advice and counsel. You know the understanding that he has in these things, and God wants us to act intelligently in regard to the lack of sympathy shown in the treatment Brother Jones has received. Those who have treated him thus will be placed in circumstances similar to those in which he has been placed, and they will then know how it is, will understand it. God wants us to stand in a position where we can take into consideration all these things and be faithful and courteous. He wants every one of us to acknowledge ourselves as his little children, to be taught of him. He does not want us to climb upon the judgment seat and deal out sentence this way and that way. He wants us to know what it means to take hold and grow, but not to destroy. There is only one source from which we can draw nourishment and strength and intelligence, and that is from God. He wants every man to humble his soul before him, for we are all dependent upon God. He wants us to lean heavily upon him. When we come to God as little children, we shall know what it is to have the Holy Spirit's guidance. We shall know what it means, as we used to know in days past. The Spirit of God will come upon us, and we shall have light and understanding. The Spirit of God will be with us, and will shine into our hearts and through our words and acts, and we shall know that the Lord is the best friend we have in all the world.